scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go forth from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against a nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has come. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Often during this Advent season, we like to hear these scriptures from Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 9. We prefer to read these chapters, but chapter 1 comes first. Sometimes we need to sit in the darkness and listen to those verses, to sit there long enough, maybe, to practice a little calm. I'll be the first to admit that it's often hard to be calm in today's world. And it was certainly challenging to be that in Isaiah's as well. In chapter 1, he describes the desolation, the heartache, lying, and cheating. We can clearly imagine and see what he has experienced. There was violence and bribery, unfaithfulness, desolation, trampling on the poor. And God calls out for repentance and offers glimmers of hope, but they're mostly drowned out by all these pictures of violence and rebellion. It's so dark, not unlike the darkness of now. You see, Isaiah was a realist, but he was also a prophet, a person with imagination. And he begins this chapter 2 with these words that you heard this morning. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in days to come. What does it mean to see a word? When I say the word star, what is your image? Is it being out on a dark night, seeing one or many, many stars above you? Or do you picture the way you were taught to draw a star when you were young? With a point, a cross, about a third of the way down, and then you connect the dots. For some of us today, we might think immediately of your screen or your phone, computer? Do you see the letters? S-T-A-R. You see it. Isaiah wanted the people to see and not just to hear. And this chapter 2 opens as if Isaiah is starting all over it again. To the highest of mountains, he calls us, to the people. The nation shall stream to this mountain. Can you catch that image of the light coming forth? People of every nation, he describes, pouring towards this pinnacle. And there God will teach us God's ways. And we will be transformed as we walk in God's path. The image is drawn. Can you see it? The star, the light, can shine. Oh, I'd like to see it. Dear old Isaiah, can you really see it? He speaks of beating those swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall any learn war anymore. It does almost seem absurd. You know, this classic hymn, Silent Night, first made its debut on Christmas Eve, 1818, at the St. Nicholas Chapel in Oberndorf, Salzburg of Austria. And one of the most famous stories told about this beloved hymn emerged from the trenches of World War I. You may have heard it. Actual letters from British soldiers who witnessed a truce gave a glimpse of this Christmas Eve on the Western Front 104 years ago. Though accounts vary, it seems that in the week that led up to Christmas of 1914, these groups of German and British soldiers began to exchange seasonal greetings, sometimes cigarettes, and songs between their trenches. Some even said chocolate. Their encampments were so close that they could hear one another singing. And sometimes it was Silent Night, each in their own language. And this prompted the soldiers to come out and meet on the battlefield without weapons. So this unofficial ceasefire allowed the soldiers on both sides to come into what we called no man's land, the stretch of land between the German and the British soldiers. And Staff Sergeant Clement Barker reported that during this undeclared truce, British soldiers went out and even recovered 69 of the dead comrades and were able to bury them. And he also reported that this impromptu football or soccer game broke out between the two sides when a ball was kicked from the British lines into the open space. The truce came to an end at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day when a German officer called his men in. I remember seeing a beautiful advertisement for chocolate that depicted this scene back in 2014. Whatever really happened, we know the details have been enhanced through the years, just as the Christmas story, how the birth of Christ has been painted in our heads. But what we do know is that the scene of this Christmas truce took place during a war. And in the dark, dark night, a star glimmered. Today I see very clearly what is happening on our nation's southern borders. I was thankful for the glimmer of light witnessed by the United Methodist Board of Church and Society on the Hill when this summer they posted on their signboard, "I was a stranger and you ripped my child from me." Wait a second, it read. And Reverend Susan Crow wrote in a statement, "The Christ we follow would have no part in ripping children from their mother's arms or shunning those fleeing violence." The light, that star, shines and points us to hearing the cry of those on the border. The Courage Campaign reported that 18,000 diapers, 28,000 wipes, and 3,000 feminine products will be delivered to the shelters in Tijuana this week. For weeks, a group of Central American asylum seekers have been at a sports complex in Tijuana, while several thousand migrants have amassed at the border between the U.S. and Mexico. And it's part because an executive order that confines them to a single point of entry. And many have waited weeks and months to be allowed to cross. Volunteers at the centers, diapers, wipes, all are stars for me that shine in the dark. Marcia McPhee just returned from extended time in Ireland. And she reported that while there, she was fortunate to talk to many of the people who told her stories of their pain during, as they call it, the Troubles. That was when the Protestants and the Catholics were literally killing one another in the streets. Just 20 years ago, people from opposing sides took great risk to come together, often secretly, sometimes in church parlors, to listen and to learn about the pain and need for one another. And in those stories, Marcia heard this incredible capacity for vulnerability and empathy, for confession. And she said, when it came down to it, neither side wanted their children or their grandchildren to live in the tension and the terror that had been created. And when she would mention the tensions in the United States at this time, every person she spoke to said with passion, don't let it get as bad as it was here. Isn't that another star? Urging, encouraging each of us for Christ to be our light. And it's within human capacity to reach across what divides us and find our commonalities, whether it is through music or chocolate or the love of our fellow human beings. You may have heard of a movement entitled Make America Dinner Again, which began after the 2016 election. And I began to search for the current activity of that group in this D.C. area. According to their website, one signs up to have dinner with a group of folks that have a variety of positions and beliefs and guidelines. They're then offered for a sharing of some kind of dinner together. It might be a star, a glimmer that one of us, some of us, could carry. You know, it's often in the midst, I believe, of all the darkness that we experience glimmers of hope. Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, has been so influential for me. Allowing ourselves to be in the dark and not knowing exactly where we're going offers this gift of time to imagine, to dream. You know, John of the Cross writes this, God puts out our lights to keep us safe. God puts out our lights to keep us safe because we are never more in danger of stumbling than when we think we know where we are going. When we can no longer see the path we are on, when we can no longer read the maps we have brought with us or sense anything in the dark that might tell us where we are, then, and only then, are we vulnerable to God's protection. The only thing the dark night requires of us is to remain conscious. And it is only as we are conscious that we see glimmers of hope or light or ideas pouring into the darkness. Stars of wonder, stars of light. The Citywell United Methodist Church, based in Durham, North Carolina, will be meeting this morning in worship, and I imagine deeply grieving in their own darkness. Because almost 11 months ago, the church agreed to be a sanctuary for Samuel Oliver Bruno. Several of us heard about that church's decision on a recent Dunker Punk podcast. And Samuel had lived in North Carolina with his family for more than two decades. Oliver Bruno first came to the U.S. in 1994 to live and work in Greenville. And his wife, Julia, who has lupus, gave birth to their son in 1999. They decided to return to Mexico in 2011 because Olivia Bruno's father was in very poor health. So they traveled back across the border illegally in 2013 in order to seek medical care for Julia's lupus. Crossing the border months ahead of her husband, she underwent heart surgery upon her arrival. And Samuel, however, was arrested and convicted of entering the country illegally with fraudulent documents when he tried to return in 2014. He left the church a week ago Friday for an appointment with immigration officials, seeking permission to defer his deportation. And two dozen from the Citywell congregation formed this caravan to take him to the office. His first time leaving the church since November. And when they arrived, dozens of other supporters were waiting. Minutes after he went into the office for his scheduled appointment, ICE officers tackled him and his 19-year-old son to the ground. And the son was later charged with assaulting a government official while trying to prevent authorities from arresting his father. And in the parking lot, dozens of supporters surrounded this minivan where agents had taken Samuel. Some were crying, others were yelling, and they remained standing around that van for nearly 3 hours, praying and singing Amazing Grace, and We Shall Not Be Moved. Their pastor, named Cleve May, told the Washington Post that the idea was to recreate the sanctuary they had offered to Oliver Bruno at their church. We now know that Samuel was deported to Mexico this past Thursday night. For sure, darkness and grief are real. But for many, this church witnesses shines brightly. So can we challenge ourselves to be silent long enough to listen to the hopes and the fears of all the years? Like the one person who issued the initial invitation to come out of that hole on that night back in 1914. Each of us has the agency to reach out across divides, to connect, because we are humans with common needs. And deep down, we do all have the desire for peace, for us and for our children, our grandchildren. Sometimes we need to sit in the darkness to listen, to imagine. Not to get stuck there, but to realize that, as Anne Lamott says, hope, or I would insert peace, begins in the dark. The stubborn hope that if you just show up and try to do the right thing, the dawn will come. Being in the dark helps us to listen, as we can hear those voices more clearly, drawing us to hear Jesus cry in them. Hear again these words from Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given. So light the candles we light on Christmas Eve, when in the darkness, one by one, the candles are lit. And they slowly grow to fill a sanctuary with light. I want to claim and hold on to my candle, to receive it, to tend it, and to pass it on, so that God's light God's peace can spread with all of yours. Christ be our light. Go with God this day. May the Spirit guide your way. Offer peace to all you greet. Like Christ, see God in all you meet.